Welcome to the Nerd Podcast, the adventure that brings you the latest nerd news and rumors from movies, TV, entertainment, and sometimes science. You name it, if it is nerdy, we are talking about it. And tonight's main event is The Hobbit, the Desolation of Smaug 10th Anniversary Nerd Out. I am your host, Austin. And with me, as always, is the amazing Amanda.
Hey.
And the wild yet elusive Jekka.
Hello.
Hey, folks, thanks so much for joining us. Obviously, we're talking The Hobbit a little later, but we're talking some other cool things, to include the first trailer for Amazon's Fallout TV series. We've also got the first trailer for Furiosa, a Mad Max saga that just came out. And we've even got Patrick Stewart talking about maybe returning as Professor X and a whole lot more. So make sure to hit that podcast subscribe button. We would love to nerd out with you each and every week. And if you've already hit that podcast subscribe button, you know what I'm going to say. Plus 10 Nerd XP to you.
Nerd XP.
We love you guys. And for everyone else, as soon as you hit that podcast subscribe button, you too can start earning Nerd XP.
Nerd XP.
Well,
Brady,
we got...
Brady just showed up.
Hey, folks, how's it going? Sorry I'm late.
No.
I'm here as long as my headset battery lasts.
Nice. Well, we're glad to have you. So, before we really jump into this too much, I got to give everybody a warning. I've been fighting this thing all week, and it's been affecting my voice. And so, if I start coughing or if I just stop talking and I turn it over to Amanda, you know why. I feel like I'm doing good. I got like 50 cough drops in front of me and some water, and I feel good. But I feel good for now. So we'll see what happens. So so Jekka, what is nerdy with you?
So I don't know if you've heard of so pretty much Hayao Miyazaki, who did so many iconic movies like My Neighbor Totoro, mm-hmm. Princess Mononoke, Howl's Moving Castle. Anyways, he came out of retirement to do another movie, The Boy and the Heron. And me and my friend went and saw it on Thursday. And we went and saw it at the Minor Theater. Now, I'm bringing up this theater because it was a super fun experience. And my friend had been trying to get me to go ever since we became friends out here in California. So I finally got to go and see this amazing movie. So first of all, the movie is phenomenal. And if you are a Studio Ghibli fan or an anime fan, I highly recommend you go see it. I will say it is not, it's not a kid movie like My Neighbor Totoro. It is more along the lines of like Howl's Moving Castle and Princess Mononoke. Because there were some people that brought their kids and I was like, oh, they were expecting to be like Totoro. And it's like, no, it's not. So, like, I would say teenagers are good to see it. Like, I want to take my niece, who's 14, to go see it. So that's fine. But anyone younger than that, I'd say it just, like, would be too deep for them. Kind of thing, too mature contact. Anyways, it was amazing and beautiful, and I loved it. But this theater, okay? So this theater, you can order food right at your seat, and they bring it out to you. So the chairs and the little tabletops are spaced so that you can move easily in and out, but there's like a little menu there, and so you look at the menu and they have red lights underneath the table, so if you want to order like in the middle of the movie you can, and you pretty much like you mark on your menu what you want, and then you put it on this little slot with your payment method, and then they take it, so like the waiters, the workers, they'll take it and then they'll bring your food out to you. So it's like, and it's like good stuff. Like they have really good pizza. There's hot chocolate. Like they have liquors too, like beer and wine and all that. So it was like a really fun experience. And well, first of all, it was such a fun experience. And the movie was so good that me and my friend are planning another group get together to go see it again this week. So I'm really excited.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
So The Boy and the Heron, cool. I highly recommend it. It's really good.
Nice. Our kids are distracting. So I got to be honest with you. I heard only about half of that. But based on Brady's reaction, it must be good.
Yeah, those theaters are really kind of nice theaters to go to. We have a couple of those around here. I think they're called Alamo Draft House is one. Studio Movie Grill is another. The original one here in town was called the Granada. And it was like an old theater with like these murals on the inside.
Yeah, this was like an older theater.
It had like couches and tables and stuff. And they would, and it was tiered down. They would bring you all kinds of adult beverages and food. So, and yeah, it was, those are, that's a great.
Yeah, it was way fun.
We have Movie Tavern here in Colorado in the Denver area. And then we also have AMC Dine-In.
Yeah.
Nice. But yeah, it's really fun. It was like literally a dinner and a movie.
Yep.
It was so fun.
A lot of fun. All right, Brady, what's nerdy with you?
Oh, nothing. What's nerdy with you?
Stuff.
Yeah, I've just been, I haven't been around as much lately, and I miss you guys, and I'm glad I was able to get on tonight. I've been doing some, you know, I told you guys I was doing the what's it called?
D&D terrain?
The terrain stuff, yeah. So I've been doing some more of that. I don't know if I showed you guys. I mean, you certainly can't see, but, you know, I've got to stain them, but I've got, like, some little
okay.
Some little carts and stuff that I've built.
That's cool.
Other small buildings. I've painted some miniatures, but I've really just been kind of too busy for it. Just between work and my wife's work has been, there's been a lot going on there. And then my mom and trying to get her into assisted living. She was in the hospital and all that stuff. So yeah, that's why I've just been so busy. I will say this. Okay. This is nerdy. It's really nerdy for my kid, but I'm going to go ahead and use it. My youngest kid, my 14-year-old, after he's a freshman in high school, and when he came home from his freshman high school thing, he, you know, you can sign up for clubs mm-hmm. and stuff. He decided one of the clubs he was going to sign up for is bowling. My kid has never, he's bowled like three times at like a family entertainment center. So he started, he joined this bowling team for the district at school. This group of kids is the, I got to say, it is the best group of youth and adults I've ever experienced in any organization. Not only do they go and they nerd out on bowling, which, by the way, there's a lot of technology behind bowling that I had no idea about, like the different surfaces of the ball and the weight distributions and all this stuff.
It's like a physics class, I bet.
Yeah, it is. But in the types of oil they use and how far down the lane they oil and where it grabs and where it doesn't and how you chamois it. Anyway. Stuff I still know nothing about, but it's been so great to see this experience from my son, because the youth and the adults all just, it's just like the optimism and the supportiveness is just palpable, and it is great because they'll cheer each other on, and you know, they're congratulating the other teams after throws. It's a, there's a real camaraderie there. And as nerdy as bowling is, which, okay, it's nerdy, whatever, it has been an amazing experience. And that has been like the highlight of my past 2 weeks. He showed up for his first tournament Saturday before last. He bowls JV because he's just brand new, beginner, you know, mm-hmm. not. But they had two varsity players that couldn't show up. So he shows up for his first tournament ever, and they're like, hey, you're bowling varsity, so this counts against district points. So now the pressure's on, and they knocked it out of the park.
Nice.
They won first place in the district and everything. So it's just been really
That's
nice.
That's awesome.
So bowling is my what's nerdy with me, but it's really a what's nerdy with us as a family. So
yeah, you're talking about the type of oil they use on the lanes just brought like bad memories, because when I was a kid, you know,
it's not like a scooter story, is it?
Well, actually, it is kind of similar. Yeah, you know, they always talk about you don't walk past the line, don't go out onto the lane. And I was, you know, I was probably like 12, and I'm like, I'm gonna test that. Why not? I'm just gonna, yeah. My very first step, my feet went flying out from underneath me, and I just like did like the most epic wipeout possible, and all of my ego went out the window, and I got back up, and it was hard to get back up. I had to kind of like shimmy on my butt and kind of do like this shimmy back butt thing, because I couldn't get my feet underneath me, and so I learned my lesson the hard way.
yeah, it's, you know, and I thought about starting to bowl too, but whenever I do something like that, I kind of go overboard. Like I'll start like studying it and doing it, but I want him to have his thing, right? I want him to have his thing and us to come see it. And it's really good, you know, just just seeing, you know, people cheer for him and him get that sense of accomplishment that he really gets, and he's getting better. And yeah, it's just really nice. The bowling thing is something, it has been a very pleasant surprise for he and I and the family as a whole.
So. Nice. All right, Amanda, what's new with you?
So I just have to say I am utterly exhausted. The past two weekends, we've had robotics competitions both Saturdays. Allison had her first qualifier. Apparently she can go to another qualifier here in a couple months. And those are long.
Yeah, they're all day events. Is that a Lego robotics competition?
Or is Allison it, or is in up to the first tech challenge.
Which is like the second level up.
Well, technically there's multiple levels within first Lego League, but that's something else entirely.
Right.
And so she actually made it to the semifinals.
Mm-hmm.
So we're awesome. Very proud of her. Apparently teams can pick an alliance team. The final four get to pick an alliance team. And so her team was picked to be part of their alliance. Nice. So that was really cool. And then.
But check this out. Wait. They made a surprise announcement at the beginning of Allison's at the beginning of Allison's robotics tournament. They said that the winner of the tournament was going to get a $30,000 a year for 4-year scholarship for college.
Whoa. Yeah, I know.
That's $120,000. Jeez almighty.
I'd be like,
anyways,
I'd be like Tanya Harding, some of those other robots.
No, really. Robots. It was the innovation project that they had to win.
But you know, Allison, they did a scrimmage and Allison got second place out of all the teams, like a week or two prior. So there was like a good chance Allison could maybe get that scholarship, but she ended up in fourth place after all. But I mean, still like really good, you know.
That's amazing, yeah.
So.
So then Anakin was at state with first Lego League, and that was this yesterday. So I've had no breaks these past weekends. We are just on the go. What Austin doesn't realize is I almost ended up with laryngitis yesterday from me screaming.
Oh yeah, I believe it.
Because I wanted to be super loud and make sure they heard us over everyone else.
I'm sure she appreciated
no,
that.
No, this is Anakin.
I'm sure he appreciated that.
One of the other moms took a picture of me holding the flag that one of the kids had made.
You know, I have to admit, because my voice was, this was just yesterday we did this. My voice was way worse yesterday than it is today. If it was anything else, I would have stayed home and just rested and tried to get over this little cold I have. But because my son, you know, he's at the state championship level, so of course I'm going to go. And so I was thinking to myself, what am I going to do to cheer? I thought about buying a bullhorn, but I didn't do that. So,
oh wow,
yeah, just send it in the text chat.
Oh yeah, I could do that.
That's easier because it wasn't very clear. Anyways. It was a lot of fun. There was 51 teams at the state level, and Anakin and his team, they did the best like they've ever done in competition. They scored very high, but the competition was very fierce at the state level, and they ended up getting 20th out of 51 teams.
That was for the robot games.
That's solid.
I'm very proud of Anakin for doing that because his team, like, they did the best they've ever done, and so they upped their game, and so they should be proud of that, even though they didn't.
And I'm very proud of their solution for they had to create a technology solution to improve art,
mm-hmm.
and so their innovation project was a graffiti wall that rotates into an art museum, and that way people can pay to have like spaces on the graffiti wall so that it could be a legal graffiti space.
Indeed.
That's cool.
Anyways, we got some nerd news to talk about. So let's get into it.
Many Bothans died to bring us this information.
Ooh. And what is the news that should be on your nerd radar? Well, the latest international trailer for James Wan's Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom has just been released, offering exciting new scenes and a fresh take on the film. This trailer stands out from previous ones because it presents a more engaging and dynamic view of the plot of the movie, much more so than any other trailer we've seen so far. In this new footage, we see Randall Park's character, Dr. Shin, uncovering a shocking find beneath the earth, and the trailer highlights intense moments such as Aquaman's confrontation with the shark-like Carson and Black Manta's dramatic elimination of a key supporting character. The action sequences shown are particularly impressive. Aquaman The Lost Kingdom is set to conclude the DCEU saga. Despite modest box office expectations, the movie promises to be an entertaining experience. The film's plot revolves around Black Manta's relentless quest for revenge against Aquaman, armed with the powerful Black Trident. To combat this threat, Aquaman seeks an alliance with his incarcerated brother, Orm, setting the stage for an epic confrontation. So this movie is set to be released in theaters right around the corner, December 20th. Let's take a listen to the trailer and we'll talk about it afterwards.
Dr. Shin! Seismic array's going crazy.
Where's the epicenter?
We're standing on it.
We don't have much time. A global meltdown is imminent.
It's time for Atlantis to rise.
I will grant you strength.
I'm gonna kill Aquaman, murder his family, and burn his kingdom to ash.
I'm coming for you.
He's heating the atmosphere on purpose.
We deserve a real king.
He is pushing us past the tipping point.
I think I know someone who might be able to help us.
Ooh, you look rough.
Perhaps you should leave and let someone who knows what they're doing be king.
So dramatic.
I never expected to see you two fighting side by side.
Flex your muscles.
Get away from my son!
You want blood? Come get it!
So my first thing is, why isn't that trailer being shown in the US? So that was like specific, like for the Chinese audiences. And I'm like, that makes me way, like, I actually am more inclined to go see this now. Like before I was just kind of like, meh, I'll see it because we're going to talk about it on the podcast. But now I'm like, okay, I want to see this more because it looks interesting. Like I actually am like, whoa, okay. I have an idea of what's going on better. It's not just like another random superhero movie. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. It does look...
Excuse me.
It looks better. I mean, it looks pretty good. But this is a trailer, and so it makes me go, is it going to actually be good, or do they just make a really good trailer? And, you know, the first Aquaman was better than I expected. I think it was better than a lot of people expected. But at the same time... This is the last film for the DCEU. And so a lot of these last films closing out the DCEU have kind of not met box office expectations. And so and if this movie is as good as this trailer makes it look out look like, then it's going to be a shame that it's not going to do the business that maybe the film deserves. So I guess we'll see if the DCEU whimpers out or if it goes out with a bang. I hope it goes out with a bang. It looks pretty good, though.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said, you know, like, trailers is how what draws people in.
Yeah.
To go see the movie. Because, like, I did see the U.S. trailer when I saw The Boy and the Heron. And so that's why, like, when you're like, oh, we need to watch this trailer before we start. I was like, oh, I already saw it. But I was like, yeah, I'll do it anyways. And I was like, I'm glad I watched it. I was like, okay, that, like,
it's a much better trailer.
It's a much better trailer. And I think, like, you know, a lot of the movies I've seen because of good trailers, even if I was like, oh, yeah, that wasn't as good as I thought it was. But it's like, hey, I, you know, it's the synopsis. It's the preview. You got to try to get people to come in, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right, let's move on, because the first trailer for Amazon's Fallout TV series has been released. Prime Video has released the first trailer for its upcoming live-action series adaptation of the hit video game Fallout. Fallout is the story of haves and have-nots in a world in which there's almost nothing left to have. 200 years after the apocalypse, the gentle denizens of luxury Fallout shelters are forced to return to the irradiated hellscape their ancestors left behind, and are shocked to discover an incredibly complex, gleefully weird, and highly violent universe waiting for them. Now, the world of Fallout, if you don't know, is one where the future envisioned by Americans in the late 1940s explodes upon itself through nuclear war in 2077. In Fallout, the harshness of the wasteland is set against the previous generation's utopian idea of a better world through nuclear energy. It is serious in tone, yet sprinkled with moments of ironic humor and B-movie nuclear fantasies. As for the series, it is set in the future post-apocalyptic Los Angeles, and it will tell an original story based on the Fallout games. And this new story will be part of the canon of the games. So Fallout is set to arrive on Prime Video April 12th, 2024. Let's take a listen to this trailer and we'll talk about it in just a moment.
I know that I've lived a relatively comfortable life.
Stop! Mercy!
Go home. Vault dwellers are an endangered species. I do not think you would be willing to do what it takes to survive up here. If you insist on staying, then you will have to adapt.
So they say will be a lovely day. A bright new sun will suddenly break through. But I don't want to see tomorrow unless I see it with you.
I grabbed a moldy one.
So my first question is, Brady, did you play the Fallout games?
Oh man, I've played so many hours of Fallout. It is unbelievable, and I can't wait to see this.
Okay, the reason I have to ask this is because I'm excited because I play the ridiculous mobile game where I just get to like control my little vault dwellers. And that's the only Fallout I play, but I am excited for the movie because I'm like, I see TV the show. Uniform. Again, excited to see the TV show because I see the little uniforms and like, oh, my peoples, I sent out on an expedition.
Yeah, not to steal the thunder, but to grab this one by the horns. This looks really good. Mm-hmm. What's that one actor's name? Goggins? Is that his name? He's been in so much stuff. I saw him in there.
I did see an actor I recognize.
He's in The Righteous Gemstones. He was in Sons of Anarchy. Anything he's in is amazing. He's always phenomenal in every role he plays. But beyond that, I mean, you see a lot of stuff from the games in there. You saw the Brotherhood of Steel. You saw the Rad Roaches. You saw the pipe guns. You saw all that stuff. I was actually up during that trailer for a moment because I have a Vault Boy sitting on my counter over there. For years, Vault Boy was my with the thumb up was my social media avatar for so many years. Yeah, I'm a big Fallout fan, and a little bit of trivia. He's not smiling and giving a thumbs up. If you look, he has one eye because the lore back then was that if you hold your thumb up, if the mushroom cloud is smaller than your thumb, you're safe. But if it's larger than your thumb, then you're in danger. So when you see the mushroom cloud, you hold, and that's why he's kind of holding his thumb. It's not like a, am I going to die kind of thing. It looks like Vault 33, maybe where this concentrates on. I don't know. This is literally like while you were playing it the first time I've seen the trailer. And I'm really excited to see it.
I decided one day to look up and see how accurate that thumb rule is for nuclear explosions. And
I have no idea.
I've learned it's not accurate, but fun to think about. And it was, you're right, it was a rule that people used to talk about like back in the 40s. So I've played Fallout. I think I've played Fallout 3, Fallout 4, and I'm trying to remember if I've played New Vegas or not. I think I got turned off because people, I think that didn't get the best reviews, if I remember correctly. I don't know.
I know you played Fallout Shelter for a very brief time.
Yeah, I did.
Walton Goggins.
I still occasionally go back to Fallout Shelter because they add more stuff all the time to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have that one installed. It's fun. And I actually reinstalled Fallout 4 just a few months ago and played it a little bit. It's funny. I played Fallout 3. And I played it and I played it and I played it. And then I got to one point and I was like, you know what? I got other games I want to play. I'll come back and finish this game one day. And like 2 years later, I reinstalled it. I went back and I got to the point where I had quit before. Literally 5 minutes later was the end of the
game. No way. Oh my word, dude.
Yeah, it was really
funny. That is so funny.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, I've played.
What?
Now, Fallout 76, I've only played a little bit because I'm not as much into the MMO for Fallout. But it was fine. Yeah, it was early days, so there were some growing pains with that one. But it's fine. But yeah, I reinstalled Fallout and Fallout 2 a while back. They're very difficult to play now just because of the technology.
Sure.
But Fallout 3 and Fallout 4, I've played many hours. I would be able to give you a time if a number of hours that I've played them.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's move on. The first trailer for Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, has been released. Warner Brothers has recently released the debut trailer for George Miller's Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. And it's clear this film is set to be a thrilling experience. Anna Taylor-Joy stars as Furiosa, showcasing a fierce and compelling portrayal of the character. The film also features Chris Helmsworth in a strikingly different role. who kind of happens to still look like Thor, but we'll ignore that. Anyways, the excitement for this movie is palpable as it promises to deliver an intense and unforgettable journey. Discussing the film, Joy highlighted the scope and depth of this new installment in the Mad Max series, saying, quote, "The main thing that George and I spoke about was that Fury Road is a road movie. You know, it takes place over, I think, 3 days, getting somewhere and then turning around and coming back. And this is an epic. This takes place over a long period of time, and you kind of get to know Furiosa better in that way. I love the character so much. That whole experience was mind-boggling, and George is the best. I hope that people enjoy it," end quote. So this storyline follows the young Furiosa as she is taken from the green place of many mothers and falls into the clutches of a biker horde led by Warlord Dementus. Oh, that's my dog in the background. Played by Chris Hemsworth. The narrative unfolds in a post-apocalyptic landscape involving conflicts with the Immortan Joe and a struggle for survival and identity. So this movie comes out May 24th, 2024. Let's take a listen to this trailer and talk about it in just a moment.
Whatever you have to do, however long it takes, promise me you'll find your way home. Furiosa, give me this promise.
Epic.
Whew. I admit it had been a while since I've seen, like, honestly, the only Mad Max movie I've seen is Fury Road. And I was just like, hey, is this someone that came, like, a character from that one? And so I had to, like, look up Mad Max Fury Road and read up on it. And I was like, oh, okay. So this is that one this is the character that Charlize Theron played in that one. So I was like, ooh. So, yeah, I'm excited for this. I'm hoping it'll be as good as the Fury Road, because Fury Road was amazing. That was so good. Especially, like, for someone who hadn't seen any of the previous Mad Max movies, like, I still thoroughly enjoyed it.
So I will just say what I really remember from that Mad Max movie, Fury Road. It was there and back again, a Furiosa tale. Because I didn't really enjoy it. It wasn't my thing, but that's really what I remember from it.
No, yeah. That's what, like, reading the synopsis, kind of like one of the ones with the spoilers, that what they said is, like, she and Max get out there only to turn around and come back to get rid of the Immortan Joe, because he was kind of like the head leader of everyone. So And I am excited to see Chris Hemsworth play a non-heroic role. I always like it when actors kind of like branch out and they get an opportunity to do something different from what they've been doing a whole lot, where he's been playing a lot of heroic roles. So I'm like, I'm excited to see him be a villain. I'm like, good for him. I think that's going to be fun.
When I first was alerted that this trailer had been released, it came with a still of Chris Hemsworth behind the wheel, and he's kind of hunched over a little bit. And if you haven't seen the trailer, they put a prosthetic on his nose to really accentuate kind of the arch of his nose to make him look a little different. But he's still got long hair, and he still kind of has a little bit of a Thor vibe. And so in the picture that was next to the trailer with him kind of leaning forward, it takes away the prominence of his nose. And so it's like, when I first looked at it, my very first reaction is, why is Thor driving a car? Like, what am I about to see here? I'm a little confused. And so anyways, so here's my thought, two thoughts. One, so we're getting this, we're getting the Fallout TV show we just talked about. We've got that Apple TV Plus TV series called, what is it called again? That's very similar to the Fallout, the people in the shelter. Silo. Yes, Silo. Mm. And Silo was excellent as well. So we've got like...
I'm on episode 6.
Oh, okay. All right, no spoilers for you. I can't believe they all died. Oh, I left that on by accident. Just joking. Anyways, so are we going to get a little bit of, post-apocalypse burnout, like we got zombie burnout with the Walking Dead and everything else popping out, zombies this, zombies
that. It all depends on how they do it.
Yeah.
And we kind of got the, what was it, the Hunger Games? It was a post-apocalyptic.
I was about to say that, like, we just got Ballads of Songbirds and Snakes that came out, which I still need to see, but,
But they have so many different ways to do it. Like, you didn't even think of Hunger Games because it's such a different way
different.
Of doing
yeah.
it.
You're right.
And so we'll see how it goes.
But like Fallout, at least, like, I don't know anything about Fallout, and please don't hurt me if you get angry from this statement, but like Fallout did look a lot like Mad Max kind of thing. Just like the deserty landscape of it kind of had that similarity, which is probably why you like thought of those two together.
Well,
what you're gonna find, I didn't mean to cut you off a minute. What you're gonna find the difference of those two, Mad Max is much more deserty. It's Australia, right? So you're gonna find it much more deserty and almost steampunkish, right? A lot of that stuff. Fallout is what you would expect a 1940s or 1950s person to think of the future, right? So if you think of like what the future car looked like to them back then and what future robots might look like to them back then. So that's the vibe. They're very different vibes. They're both post-apocalyptic, but the wasteland type you see is more of like shattered trees, shattered buildings. The land is laid to waste, but it's not barren in the sense of
Mad Max.
Features. Yeah. So, okay. Right.
Yeah. In Mad Max, the big bads in the story are people. Your greatest villains are the people. In Fallout, you can have cockroaches the size of a dog.
That's a rad roach.
Yeah. And so you get this very much like nucleated type world.
This is my own headcanon. I'm going to say Fallout is a prequel to Mad Max, and Mad Max like takes place like 200 years afterward, after everybody is like comfortable living outside the vault. So,
So Jekka, your assignment is to download Fallout Shelter onto your phone.
No. She's got her master. No,
I'm still working on Tears of the Kingdom over here.
She's gonna watch episode one of Invincible too.
Yeah, so. I gotta watch Invincible.
Yeah, right. You can do this while watching. All right.
We're gonna move on.
Bad Amanda. No.
All right. Patrick Stewart talks about the possibility of him returning as Professor X. So renowned actor Patrick Stewart, I almost said Professor Xer, who is deeply associated with his role as Professor Charles Xavier in the X-Men movies, recently discussed the possibility of reprising his role in the MCU. His performance as Professor X has become so emblematic that it's hard to envision anyone else filling those shoes, a sentiment that was reinforced by his appearance in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Amid speculation about his involvement in Avengers Secret Wars, Stewart, in a conversation with E! Talk, as reported by Comic Book, addressed these rumors. Quote, Patrick Stewart says, "I cannot put it to rest because it's not a fact either for or against. It is a possibility. Hugh Jackman and I looked upon Logan as being our farewell, given that I died in that film. Although I've been told I've actually died several times already." Further commenting on the matter, he said, quote, "Know that and you could get lucky," end quote. So this statement comes in light of Hugh Jackman's confirmed return as Wolverine in Deadpool 3, suggesting that Stewart's return as Professor X might not be as implausible as it seems. I guess we'll just have to wait until maybe Deadpool 3 comes out or the MCU recasts Professor X.
I'm just going to say he's already reprised his role.
Yeah, in but like
Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, but we want back. We want like back and moving forward.
So I don't think he's going to come back and move forward. I think he might come back for another multiverse event. But we do need to move on with a new Xavier. We need to find a new Xavier.
Why? For what reason?
Because Patrick Stewart can't live forever, unfortunately. Even though we want him to live forever. How old is
he? He hasn't aged since the 80s. He was bald then, he's bald now. Let me see here. Patrick Stewart.
He's aged. You can see it in different ways. Picard, you can see it in different ways.
He's only 83 years old right now. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, he hasn't aged since the 80s. And so we need to find a new actor that can take it on, that we can have some longevity with. I mean, what was the actor? I'm trying to remember the actor's name.
It was James McAvoy.
Yeah, James McAvoy. Let's just shave James McAvoy and stick him back in.
They did that. It didn't work.
I thought it worked. I thought he did a good job.
It worked just fine.
Well, but he wasn't Patrick Stewart level. Yeah.
No one's going to be Patrick Stewart, Austin.
Exactly.
No one's going to be Patrick Stewart.
Maybe Brett Spiner. We can shave him.
You need someone who has like a muted intensity. Someone, I don't know, like someone I think could pull it up, not because of physical resemblance, but because of like acting ability. Might be someone like Cillian Murphy, someone like that.
Ewan McGregor.
No, we're not going to have Obi-Wan Kenobi as Professor X.
He could do it.
He could do it. He could do it. Possibilities.
And then he would also be in the MCU with Andy Serkis.
Okay, Dwayne Johnson. Let's get to Dwayne Johnson.
I decided to look up bald actors. Here's what we got. We got Dwayne Johnson.
Now we lost Gilbert Godfrey.
Samuel Jackson.
Terry Crews.
Ed Harris. I don't know how old Ed Harris is these days. Ed Harris might be able to do it.
Vin Diesel.
All right, we're going to move on.
I think we're looking for like a Tucci parody.
Stanley Tucci could do it.
We're moving on.
He'd be good.
Katie Sackhoff talks the future of Bo-Katan in Star Wars. Katie Sackhoff's portrayal of Bo-Katan Kryze has become a significant element in Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau's Star Wars narrative set in the New Republic era. First appearing in The Mandalorian in live action, her character's journey has been captivating and still has much to unfold. Sackhoff is not only set to return in season 4 of The Mandalorian, but is also expected to feature in Filoni's upcoming Star Wars Heir to the Empire-like movie. In a conversation with the direct, Sackhoff discussed her character's potential impact on future Star Wars stories. She expressed her anticipation, thank you, I don't know what's going on, of a reunion between Bo-Katan and Ahsoka Tano, stating, quote, "Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine that they wouldn't at some point, but, you know, again, I have no idea. You know, I have absolutely no idea. They don't tell me anything until I show up at work with my script in hand." When asked about Sabine Wren's evolution into a Jedi in the Ahsoka series, Sackhoff reflected on Bo-Katan's relationship with both Jedi and Mandalorians. Quote, "I think that Bo has always worked side by side with the Jedi and the Mandalorian people, and I think that she sees the benefit of the two groups working together. And I think that she would probably think nothing of it other than, wow, that's pretty good, wonderful, good for you." Regarding her character's role in the upcoming Star Wars Heir to the Empire-like movie, which aims to bring together the New Republic saga, Sackhoff said, quote, "Well, I think that the Mandalorian people have a lot of rebuilding to do, but I think that the Mandalorians have always been a phenomenal military asset. So I don't know. She's always been incredibly strategic and methodical. So I think that those skills could be useful, but you never know." So, this movie that Dave Filoni is supposed to be making is supposed to interconnect the narratives of the Mandalorian, the Book of Boba Fett, Ahsoka, with Grand Admiral Thawne emerging as the main antagonist. So, what do you guys think of Bo-Katan's future?
I mean, if it gives me more Ahsoka and Thrawn, I'm okay with that. It's like, it makes sense to me, I'll say that she would have more roles, considering, like, oh, it's been a while since I've watched Mandalorian Season 3. I mean, considering that Jin Djarin, like, doesn't want to be the ruler of Mandalore, and so she's the one that's most eligible, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it makes sense to see her moving forward. It makes sense. I personally am not, I don't really care all that much, but it's like, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense for her to come, like, appear in Mandalorian, considering how the third season went, and that she saw the Mythosaur.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. So that makes sense. And yeah, now that I say that, I'm like, okay, I do want to see how that pans out as well. Because that, to me, like, in a way more so than the Darksaber, is almost like an even more claim to be the ruler of Mandalore, because she saw the mythical monster that their whole, like, culture is based around, you know? So I want to see the Mythosaur again. I'd like to see that again. But yes.
I think we're going to get some sort of resolution to that.
Yeah.
Or at least a little bit more information on that. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on. Dune 3 script is almost done, according to director Villeneuve. So at a recent press conference in South Korea, Denis Villeneuve, the acclaimed director of Dune, shared exciting updates about the franchise's future, including his near completion of a script for a third movie in the series called Dune Messiah. Villeneuve's enthusiasm for expanding the Dune saga into a trilogy was first hinted at in an August 2023 interview with Empire Magazine, where he mentioned, quote, "If I succeed in making a trilogy, that would be the dream. I would say there are words on paper for a third film." But in his latest announcement, Villeneuve revealed that Dune Messiah apparently is being written right now. This is the first we've heard of this. And the screenplay is actually almost done.
What?
Saying, quote, "Dune Messiah is being written right now. The screenplay is almost finished, but it's not finished. It will take a little time," end quote. He further teased that the third installment would explore the culmination of Paul Atreides' journey based on Frank Herbert's novel Dune Messiah, written as a sequel to the original 1965 Dune. Regarding his return to the Dune universe, Villeneuve admitted, "I don't know exactly when I will go back to Arrakis. I might take a detour before just to go away from the sun for my mental sanity. I might do something in between, but my dream would be to go a last time on this planet that I love," referring to a third one. So the second Dune movie is set to be released March 1st, 2024.
I am so excited to have more Dune. Jacka, did you ever finish Did you get through Dune Messiah?
Oh yeah, I've read the first three books, but Dune Messiah so far has been my favorite. Like, I actually liked it more than the first one. I really liked it. And it was one of those things, like, as soon as I finished Dune Messiah, I was like, oh man, I would love to see this, like, mm-hmm. in theaters. Like, it would be so cool.
Is there a bunch of books in between though?
No.
No. It goes Dune Messiah, and then Children of Dune, and then the next. It's one of those things, it's been so long since I've read them that I'm planning on, like, just starting rereading Dune and
the
read
only,
all six.
There are very few books that I have approved the splitting of for multiple movies. Dune is one of those movies. So the first movie was split into the first book was split into two movies. And it sounds like he would just make one movie of the second book.
And which I hope is the plan, because it is best. Like, the first one really can be a single one movie. If they were to split into two movies, it'd be like, no, that'd be like the Hobbit situation. But speaking of the Hobbit, anyways. But yeah, no, like, Dune Messiah, it's short and concise enough story, because Dune, like, has a gap in it. Like, there's a 3-year gap between things that happen. And it was one of those things, like, I knew that going in because my friends warned me about it. They were like, just so you know, you're going to, like, finish this one part. And then when you move to the next chapter, it's like 3 years later. So they're like, just be aware of that. I was like, oh, okay. So that was like a very helpful thing, because I know some of my other friends who didn't know that, they were kind of like, I was so confused. And I was like, yeah, I had a warning. So yeah, no, I like, yeah, as soon I'm, oh, please, please, please. I'd love to see Dune Messiah, because it's so good. It was so good.
All right. I think it's time for our main event. Yes, that's my voice right now. All right, here we go.
We had our honeymoon on Alderaan. Good thing we took pictures, huh?
Shut up, Wesley.
You have no idea what you're dealing with.
Shakespeare in the Park?
That means it was too...
Truly, the tales and songs fall utterly short of your enormity, O Smaug the Stupendous.
We are the dwarves of Erebor.
We have come to reclaim our homeland.
I offer you my help.
How do we know it won't betray us? We don't.
There is no king under the mountain, nor will there ever be.
It will not end here. With every victory, this evil will grow.
Legolas has grown very fond of you. Do not give him hope where there is none.
You have no right to enter that mountain.
I have the only right.
We've been blind. In our blindness, our enemy has returned.
I found something in the goblin tunnels.
What did you find?
My courage.
Good. You'll need it.
Dragonfire and ruin.
That is what you will bring upon us. He cannot see beyond his own desire.
I will not risk this quest for the life of one burglar.
His name is Bilbo.
Light.
All right, super nerds. I needed that little break. Special shout out to all you super nerds who have hit that podcast subscribe button. We really, really appreciate you. Please help us get the word out. Tell a friend about the podcast. And I want to invite you to hit that podcast subscribe button if you've not done so already. Come on, do it. You get plus 10 nerd XP.
Nerd XP.
So,
anyways, we need to take a short moment to berate Brady for being bad.
Why?
Bad Brady. Bad, bad why? Brady. He decided to get an AI generator to get the image of what Macaulay Culkin would look like as Professor X. They are perfect. Hilariously awesome. They are hilariously awesome.
Yeah, but they don't. These pictures don't look anything like Macaulay Culkin, though.
They're inspired. You can see the eyes. You can see the structure.
In one of these photos, he's got a mullet, which makes no sense. He's bald. He's bald, and he's got like hair on the back.
What's AI? I mean, you get the you he get the vibe. Hair in the back.
Oh my gosh!
All right.
It's Macaulay Culkin, too. There's already always...
Anyways, The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, 10th anniversary. Can you believe it's been 10 years already since these films came out?
Dang.
I thought it had been longer than 10 years, actually.
Actually, I thought it was sooner, like not as long. I was like, I was still working at the aquarium when that came out. That was before I rejoined the podcast. That was way before.
No, I
love The Desolation of Smaug, though. We watch it every Christmas break. We go through all the Lord of the Rings.
I remember you telling us that, yeah.
Yeah. I like The Desolation of Smaug. I think most people recognize that The Hobbit, the book, probably should have been one or two movies max.
Two movies.
It did not need to be three movies. There was a lot added to it, and those who were
and that is part of why I will never watch it.
And those who are dedicated to authenticity to the books, they obviously have legit problems with this movie because it's not a 100% faithful adaptation. Nonetheless, I think it's a really great movie. I think the first Hobbit movie was the best. With this one slightly behind it. But, I mean, we get Smaug, and he's freaking awesome.
Yeah. Sorry, go on.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, that was what I was most excited about this movie was, first of all, you have Martin Freeman, who's amazing, and then Benedict Cumberbatch does the voice of Smaug. And at the time, you know, I was, like, way into Sherlock with those two meeting it. And so the fact that they were like once again interacting on screen was just like a dream come true for me. They were like interacting together in a Tolkien setting. It's for that reason. I think the main reason why I'm not such a huge fan of the MCU is because they had a total missed opportunity. They had both those actors in their universe and not once have they put them in the same room together. And I'm just so mad about that because I'm just like, get these two actors that are amazing and phenomenal together. Peter Jackson did it. Why aren't you doing it, Marvel? Come on. Anywho's. I agree with you, Austin. I liked it because of Smaug, first of all. And then I also liked it because we get Legolas. Because I remember like one time rereading The Hobbit and I was just like, wait a second. Legolas is from Mirkwood. He's gonna be there too. Kind of thing.
All right, it looks like Brady is having some technical problems, unfortunately, and he's going to be taken off.
But it was like having Legolas appearing. I mean, granted, that's where I didn't like the third movie because, like, I wanted him to be a cameo, not become a part of the storyline.
Yeah, and he was. And very prominent.
He became very prominent, especially in the third one. Like this one, I was kind of expected because, you know, they're trying to escape Mirkwood and all that stuff. Yeah. And I was just like, that's great. But the third one that he was just like all of a sudden central again, I was like, Legolas' story is in the Fellowship of the Ring. Like this isn't his story. And that's always been my biggest complaint with the Hobbits is like, or the Hobbit movies is I wanted to focus on Bilbo and he was focusing on other people. But yeah.
Yeah, I My biggest problem with these movies is just the pacing. They drag it out. Like, I didn't honestly have much of a problem with, like, Legolas and some of the other things they added. But the pacing was perfect in the first movie. Like, they really set up the adventure really well. And it was really captivating. And I would say it was on par with the Lord of the Rings films. So much fun. Then the Desolation of Smaug comes. And I remember watching it in the theater, and we get through the movie, and it was weird. It was like I had like this weird tension building in me, where one, I was really enjoying the movie, but at the same time, I could tell that they were dragging it out a little bit, and I could see where they weren't wrapping it up fully. And they were leaving some space open for a third film. But then I'm saying to myself in the back of my head, there isn't a lot of material left for the third film. And so I guess they're going to be adding a whole lot and really dragging it out. And so as I was watching Desolation of Smaug in the movie theater, I had this mixed feeling where I'm really enjoying it. And now I'm actually kind of dreading the third movie, you know? So it's like, how am I supposed to get through the second film knowing what you're about to do to the third film?
Yeah. And
so it was hard.
100% agree. Because, I was... Like, I knew at that point they were going to make a third move. They were doing three movies. So for me, it was like, okay, where are they going to leave it off? And honestly, I have two complaints about it. First of all, I actually didn't like it where they left it off. Like, I didn't... Because to me, the whole Smaug... And him descending on Lake Town, like, and then, you know, I'm forgetting the guy, the descendant who kills him.
Yeah.
Like, that whole part to me was the climax of The Hobbit. Like, that was the coolest part of the book, you know?
Bard,
that's it. Yeah, it was Bard.
Yeah.
Like, that part was super cool to me. So the fact that like, it ended with him... like a Smaug leaving the Lonely Mountain and flying towards the Lake Town. I was just like, no, because then like the coolest part of the book, in my opinion, was like the first 15 minutes of the movie. And that was it. Yeah. I was just like, okay. My other second complaint, and I want to know your opinion on this, but the Tauriel?
The one
elf love interest they introduced.
What was the actress that played her? She's also the same actress in the Ant-Man movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she plays Wasp.
Oh.
Evangeline Lilly, there you go.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. I'll just flat out say, like, I didn't like that character. I was like, I get it, you're trying to get more women in the films, because... The books definitely don't have a whole lot of female presence, you know? I get that, but I didn't
like... Her role was to fall in love with a dwarf.
That's what makes me angry. That's what I don't like about it. And it's nothing against the whole thing about, like, an interracial thing. It's just the fact that her only purpose was to be a love interest. I'm like, you're freaking gonna bring in an elven warrior maiden, and you're doing that with her? Like, I was so mad. Like, she is my least favorite because of that. Like, I just want to see her. I wanted her to be like Eowyn. Like, that's where I felt like I was like, if you wanted to make a strong female character, like Eowyn would have been a great role model to base her off of. Because Eowyn was awesome, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even though her moment didn't come until Return of the King in the Fields of Pelennor, at least like Tauriel could have been like that, you know? So that's my rant for you all to hear.
All right, so a few funny things. So I did not realize this, but my son Anakin, I keep showing him the first Hobbit film and the second Hobbit film, and I've never shown him the third Hobbit film, and so he keeps getting mad at me that
you showed him like the Smaug resolution.
Because I keep forgetting that he needs to watch it. And the reason why we haven't watched it is for the reasons we've already talked about, you know?
I'm laughing so hard right now.
And so he's super mad at me, and he's like, Dad, we need to finish it. I'm tired of watching this one. I already watched it. I want to watch the next one. And he, uh, And he just talks about, yeah, and it's so funny. So the last things he sees is Smaug going to the town saying, I am fire. I am death. And that's it. What a cliffhanger to end on. I guess my son is jumping on. Amanda's put him on. Are you here to say something?
No.
Okay. All right. Here. What do you want to say to Jekka and everybody listening about Smaug and how we keep ending and not watching the third one? Nice and loud. You gotta be here, sit forward, dude.
I don't know.
Okay, you don't have to say anything. Just...
I'm just laughing super hard, Anakin, that like your dad hasn't even like let you see how the Smaug you... and Lake Town finishes. Like,
yeah, you have the opportunity.
Just straight up, you're just left on this cliffhanger. I'm so sorry, buddy.
So
that part of it's worth watching. Hi.
We'll probably watch the third one. Armin, you're supposed to be in bed, babes. Yes, my son Anakin and my daughter Arwen are down here.
There's nothing nerdy about your family at all.
Anyways, excuse me. You know, it is funny saying their names out loud in public from time to time because you'll catch people like they'll do like a double take, like what? And it was funny, actually, this happened just a few weeks ago. Like actually, I think it was on Black Friday. We were walking around, and I was wearing a Star Wars t-shirt. And this dude walks by, and he points at me, and he does, like, a Star Wars quote. I can't remember what it is. But like, he kind of, like, gives me a thumbs up, like, yeah, Star Wars. And then he comes looping back around just because, you know, his own shopping. And Amanda and I and the kids hadn't left that aisle yet. And as he comes around, Amanda's yelling at Anakin, Anakin, get over here, Anakin. And that same dude, like, he double takes again. And he's like, are you married to that guy wearing that Star Wars shirt? And she's like, yes. And he says to Amanda, you guys are doing it right. You guys are doing it right.
Well, yeah, so. when once upon a time when I worked at Hollywood Video, there was a family that would come in and one of their sons was named Atreyu. From the Neverending Story. And I was just so like, awesome. That is awesome.
Wow.
I was like, that is awesome. Atreyu. It was really fun checking them out.
Okay, so.
Sidetracked, but yeah.
So there are some things to really like about this movie, though. And in the whole scene with Bilbo sneaking around under the mountain, under the Lonely Mountain, Smaug right there. How they introduce Smaug. I mean, the whole thing was perfectly crafted.
I agree. That whole part was, that's the reason why I keep watching it.
Oh, yeah.
It's for that part, because it's so amazing. They both did such an excellent job. It was so well done. I love, like, when Smaug starts twitching and how it's, like, cascade of coins. Like, this amount of coins just starts sliding like an avalanche. But so you're just kind of like, where's his shape? Like, what part of the body am I seeing? Like, you're just kind of like eager to see what part it is.
The slow reveal.
Yeah.
Literally was awesome. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. We couldn't help it. Me and the kids were talking throughout the movie. And Allison ends up saying something to me along the lines of, why do they want Bilbo as a thief? He's not a thief. Why do they keep calling him a thief? And I had to say something in D&D terms. I was like, well, you know, he's a hobbit. He has a racial trait that gives him automatic advantage to stealth. And so he gets to roll twice to see what happens on the stealth check.
Yeah.
And Allison's whoa.
Where is it? Let me find it. There's this funny meme that someone wrote. I will, if I can't find it, I will try to paraphrase it because it is really funny about hobbits.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can find it. Where's my memes? There it is. Because I'd rather read it than try to paraphrase it. But if I have to paraphrase it, I will do so. I don't think I saved it here. Is it here? Is it this one? Nope.
So while you're looking, I'll keep talking.
Yeah.
my favorite part of The Hobbit, when I was reading the book, outside of, you know, obviously Smaug, was the whole scene in which they're floating down the river in the barrels. And I remember reading The Hobbit. I actually read The Hobbit on the border of Iraq and Kuwait back in the day. And what a fun book to read. And I remember that scene just like capturing my imagination, just how fun it would be to have this little chase scene in barrels going down a river. And the chase scene was obviously in this movie, and I was so happy that they didn't just blow past it. And they obviously hammed it up quite a bit, but I thought it was still enjoyable. I didn't have any issues with it. It was still a lot of fun to watch that, even after all these years. You could tell the CGI isn't quite up to some of today's standards in some areas. The CGI looked honestly a little rushed, but it was pretty good.
If you take into account the time, it was very good. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I can't find it, which I'm very sad. But anyways, here's what it talks about. Going back to the thing about like Bilbo being the sneaky thing, is it was a whole thread on Reddit, I think. But someone mentions that like in all of Middle Earth, like the one race that is most closely like Fae is the Hobbits, which is really funny because they're just like, they just want the comforts. They just want to be left out. But like nobody knows anything about them except Gandalf. So it points out that like, you know, Bilbo, he finds this magic ring and he's sneaking around and everyone's like, oh yeah, he's very sneaky. Okay, cool. Yeah, like Gandalf said, he's very sneaky. That's why he's our thief. So they don't even question that he has a magic ring that makes him invisible. And then later, Frodo, when he gets like kind of skewered by the cave troll and he has Mithril, like everyone's like, oh yeah, but Gandalf said like hobbits are resilient. Awesome. Like they don't even think he's got protective armor on. And so it talks about like how when you think about the hobbits, it's like one's helped kill a dragon, defeated trolls, you know, destroyed the Dark Lord Sauron, and then like destroyed the Witch King. It's like, can anything kill a hobbit? We don't know. And so I wish I could find it, read it to you. But yeah, that's kind of the funny thing is like, as far as anybody knows, no one's been able to kill a hobbit. Like none of the hobbits have ever died.
And so for hundreds of years afterwards, all these random strangers start showing up in Hobbiton asking for the help of random hobbits. And all they want to do is be left alone.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that probably means Bilbo and Frodo became a curse word in Hobbiton in the Shire.
Right, yeah.
Dang them Baggins.
Them, everyone's coming to find us and seek our help, and we just want to eat our potatoes.
That is so funny. All right, let's wrap up because my voice is having some troubles.
My throat hurts listening to you.
I've been coughing. I've been putting it on mute while coughing so people don't have to hear me. Anyways, final thoughts. 10 years later,
It's still, like, you know, as much as I wasn't a fan of the Hobbit movies, it's definitely nice to have, like, a little extra, like, you know, three more movies to watch when I do a Lord of the Rings marathon. I actually did that last year with my roommates. We started with the first Hobbit movie and watched all we did all the extended versions, too. So, and that was really fun.
Extended Hobbit versions, too?
Yeah, the extended Hobbit versions and the extended Lord of the Rings. So
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, it was way fun. So I think like, yeah, this second one is still definitely like worth watching. I've seen it more often than the third, more times than the third one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because
it's still worth going back. But yeah.
Absolutely. All right, folks. Thanks so much for joining us on another adventure of Super Nerd Podcast. Make sure to hit that podcast subscribe button and leave us a review wherever you're listening to us. Subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Anchor, Pocket Casts, YouTube, or wherever else you find us. Next week, we are going to be doing an Invincible Season 2 mid-season nerd out. So if you've not watched Invincible Season 1 or Season 2, you got to get on it. It's such a great TV series. It's on Amazon Prime. They are at the mid-season break, and we're not going to continue on until next year, so we gotta wait like another month or so. This is a perfect time to get caught up, and we're gonna talk about it next episode. So if you have any thoughts on Invincible, leave us a voicemail at anchor.fm/supernerdpodcast, and you just might be on the upcoming show. You can also email us some thoughts to supernerdpodcast@gmail.com, or reach out to us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Search Supernerd Podcast. Give us a like, give us a share, and tell a friend about us. But from all of us at Supernerd Podcast, stay nerdy, my friends.
Have fun.
Catch you later.